you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? It is the SDR Show. This week, a really funny guy. His name, Eric Griffin. He's a comic. He's an actor. You may know him as Montez from the Comedy Central show Workaholics. He was in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, I'm Dying Up Here, Blunt Talk, a bunch of other stuff. And just a super cool dude. Really had a fun time talking with him. Remember, we do the show live every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And then those shows come out about 5 days later, if you're listening to those right now, anywhere you consume a podcast. You could use the code SDR at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Get those shows 5 days earlier, commercial free, in HD, and all the way back to the dawn of time, to the very first episode of the SDR show. Just go to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the code SDR. Try it out for 7 days. You don't like it, cancel it. You won't be charged. You know what you could do? Log in, download every episode we've ever done, then cancel your membership. Why not? I don't care. I just want you to spread the love. Tell people about the show. Let's get more and more listeners. Every month we've been doing better and better, and I'd like that trend to keep going. So here it is right now, the Eric Griffin episode of the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's far, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. A unique episode this week. Why? Shannon is away. We'll explain why in a second. But I got my boy James Mattered in with me, so nice to see you, buddy, James.
I'm here, baby. First show in my new apartment, Upper East Side. I'm better than everyone. Fuck everybody.
I'm so happy you're back in New York, dude. It's fucking nice.
It's unbelievable, bro. I'm going to pretend I never was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you were just there, because now you're officially back in Manhattan proper, right? So when people say New York City, they very often don't realize most people mean Manhattan, but they could be in the Bronx or Staten Island, God forbid. But you mean now you are back in Manhattan.
Straight up. And I'm going to be like a Manhattan person. I won't actually say Manhattan. I'll either say New York, or I'll give my specific street so people know how much I'm paying rent. That is the Manhattan shit, important. And I'm doing it. East priorities, 73rd, bitch.
Priorities are important, very much.
Oh,
so.
Good grief. East 73rd.
Well, East 73rd in what, though? East 73rd in, like, the FDR Drive is not great, but if it's East 73rd in, like, 1st or 2nd, that's good.
Uno, baby.
Oh, that's good. All right, you're in a good area then. All right, I allow it. I'll allow it. Okay, so now, this dude, you may know him. I think probably most notoriety comes from Montez from Workaholics, but he's been in a bunch of movies like Mike and Dave Needs Wedding Dates. He's got his own podcast as well, Riffin with Griffin, and his 2018 comedy special, Americ with Eric in the middle, American Warrior. Get it? Eric Warrior. It is Eric Griffin. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Hello,
guys.
Thanks
for having
me.
Were you proud of that wordplay for you 3 years ago when it was American?
Yeah, I know. Please don't tease me about it. But at first, you know, when you first saw it, I was like, ooh, yeah. And then, like, you know, 3 years later, you're just like, what was I doing?
It seemed so good at the time. It was so creative.
It really did. You know what I mean? It's the way you described it, it made me feel like a piece of shit, you know. But
hey, that's what I'm here for, my friend. That is what I'm here for. Also, I saw we just had a guest on the show not that long ago that James was my co-host for Joe Manganiello, and you were in the sleepover with him. I didn't see that movie, but
yes,
that's cool that you were with him. The most
Joe's a cool dude. We actually sat next to each other on the plane ride over, and it was like I got to know him right there. He's a cool dude.
He seems so. We had him on the show, and I've told the story before, but I just feel that it's worth repeating again because it was so bizarre. We interviewed him the same way that we're doing this through Zoom. It wasn't in person at the studio. And he's 6'4" and a half, 6'5", so am I, right? So I just say, hey, from one 6'5" heartthrob to another, welcome to the show. And he just goes, oh, thanks for having me. So now I was wondering, does he think that I think I'm a heartthrob? Does he think he didn't acknowledge it. He just said, oh, well, thanks. You know, and that was it. Or does he think I'm delusional? It was very weird.
Well, there's probably a little delusion in there, but it is what it is. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think I was hoping he would say very funny. but nothing.
right. You know? Well, I mean, he's not really a comic, you know what I mean? He's not really like, you know, he's like used to doing interviews. So I'm sure he was like doing it like a, you know, like a professional interview type thing. He doesn't expect people to like have some levity. It's that's the difference when like comics are doing interviews and podcasts and stuff like that. So not, it's a whole different world.
Right. I agree with you. Speaking of which, not about comedy, but I do a deep dive on people as much as I can, you know? And first thing I want to say out the box, dude, A, congratulations on the engagement.
Yeah, she got me.
But more importantly, B, it's obvious she's way hotter than you are. That's a given, right? Would you agree with that?
Well, I didn't get in this business to get with somebody my age or looks like me. Like, yuck.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're right. You're a man.
You know what I mean? Like, why would I do that? You know what I mean? That's for regular people. You know what I mean? It's like, sorry, not sorry for you people that are.
Man, I could not agree more. It made me happy. I'm like, yeah, that's why people get into comedy right there. Right.
You get into comedy and show business, or you start a business, or you succeed, then you look to be like, all right, let me, what's the fruits of my labor? Like, I'm not going to, I saw like some high school buddies. I was in Vegas and a high school buddy came to my show. You know, I haven't seen this guy in 20 some years. You know, he's with this woman. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, he must have brought his mom to the show, but it was his wife, you know. You know what I mean? And for me, it was just like I realized, oh, this is regular people stuff. You grow old together, you know.
Right.
Like when you're in like the entertainment business, it doesn't necessarily, you know, even for women too, like you see like, you know, hot older women with like some young stud. I mean, it happens, you know.
It happens, and not only it happens, it's almost like, well, you expect it. Like, of course it'd be weird, like when you see what's his name when he was dating Demi Moore, Ashton Kutcher. Was older, everyone thought it was weird. Like, why is that happening?
So did he, because he woke up one day, looked over at his auntie, and he was like, ooh, I gotta, like, I'm 30. What am I in my 30? What am I doing? And then he got with the younger. Nick Cannon did the same thing. He woke up, he looked over at Mariah Carey and was like, what am I doing with my auntie?
It's kind of a double trophy though, right? Like she got a young dude on the come up,
right?
And he got someone he probably jerked off to growing up, and that's kind of cool. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah,
it was cool till it wasn't cool.
By the way, on this show there's an 80s pop chick that I think I have a shot with. I don't want to say her name yet because it's not worth getting into, but she's obviously Tiffany. Much old. Close. She's much older now. Ralph. She's older now. You know, she's my age. Uh-huh. I'm 51. She's probably, if not my age, maybe even older. But there is something to the thought of, oh, shit.
I got a chance now.
Yeah. And it's like, I kind of would want to do it. Like, if Bobby Brown hit on me, you know, from the Warrant video, even though she's my age, I still kind of want to be like, well, maybe I would, just kind of a cool thing to do.
You messed me up for a second there. I was like, Bobby Brown. No,
I'm going to be honest. If new edition Bobby Brown asked me out, I'm in. I'll be like, let's go. Every little step.
You want to be his tenderoni?
Oh, my God.
By the way, I don't know why this is coming up, but I literally had a dream last night, which makes no sense. I had to call my brother this morning. I have a twin brother, and we were on a street corner. And three dudes come up to us and they start, oh, shit, Ralph, Joe, what's up, man? And it was Belle Biv DeVoe in my dream. And they said they went to elementary school with me, which is not true. And then flash forward in my dream, we're on stage singing Do Me Baby with all the dances in our outfits. I don't know what that means or why that happened, but that was literally my dream last night.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it means.
I don't know what it means either.
I was in a dream with Boys to Men. And so if Eric was in a dream with another bad creation, would be great. I'm bringing
I would
back,
be in a
baby.
Dream. No, for 91. Me, it would be a white band. I would be in with like Journey or
Color Me Bad. Were they white? Journey. Those two dudes who white.
Oh, yeah, Color Me. Oh, I remember Color. I want to sex you up. Yeah,
very good.
I remember that.
Very good. Look at that, man. Right out the box.
That guy's a mechanic now.
Is he really?
That'd the cool lead singer is a fat. He's like a fat mechanic now.
If that's true, he might be. Is that true?
Yeah, no, he is. He is. Oh, I saw him on like he was on one of those like Where Are They Now shows or something like that. You know.
And that's gotta suck for him because he probably doesn't want to go on that show, but yet he does want to go on to get some more notoriety.
Right. But he seemed happy. He seemed like, you know, we had our run and now I'm doing this with my life. I mean, I always think about that. There's gotta be a lot about those one hit wonder people. Like, what are they doing now? They got their realtor's license or they got like, you know what I mean? They're doing something. They're at a car dealership or so you would just hope that they did something with their money, but you know.
You're both
it wasn't a lot of money too.
I'm a little older than both of you, but I think you may know this band. My mother called me today because someone in her building, she found out was in the old girl group Exposé. Do you remember Exposé? Come Go With
Me. Yeah.
And she's just some, like, you know, 50 something year old woman. And she's like, "Do you ever hear of a group called?" I go, "Yeah, of course I did." As I can't believe that she sells jewelry now in Miami Beach is what she does.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Of course, that's what I mean. Like, first of all, these people didn't make a lot of money. We just assumed they
Everyone
did.
Everyone does. Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know, we just assume, like, well, they're singing and they must make all this money. No, some producer made all the money, some publishing, and it was terrible deals back then.
Yeah,
and they had like one hit and they didn't continue. So where are they? Like, where's PM Dawn right now? You know, where is, you know what I mean? Like, where are all these people? You know, they got regular lives and regular jobs and they hope no one recognizes them.
Yeah, it's got to suck. I mean, I always feel that it would be better to have no hit than to be that one, like the Milli Vanilli or the Rico Suave, that everyone's going to know, oh, you were that guy. That's got to be the worst feeling. It'd be better to have some moderate, sustained success where you never really make it huge, but you're somewhat can live off of it versus that.
You mean like a comedian?
like both of you is what I'm trying to say.
Right. No, but I think if you're like, go ahead.
You got me thinking of that scene in The Wrestler where Mickey Rourke's cutting deli meat and the guy's like, "You're Randy the Ram, Ram Jam." He's like, No, I'm not. And he's just miserably cutting meat, hoping to put his fingers through it to put him out of his misery.
Yeah, that's that feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, like, you know, I could, who knows? I can go broke tomorrow. Then I'll be in a driving Uber and people will get in and be like, "Oh man, Montez." You know what I mean? That's what it's going to be like. You know what I mean?
It's got to be.
So I get why that would be like very like heart wrenching for someone. Like if you like, you know, you get in a car and you're like, "What? Why?" You know, Phil Collins? What are you driving an Uber for? Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It'd be something like that. You know,
if it was me driving that Uber, and not that I'm at any level of fame, but I would have like a plaque on the back that says, "Yes, I am that guy, and yes, this is what I'm doing now. Let's not talk about it," or something like that.
Yeah,
to avoid
please
that
don't
conversation
talk about it.
Every single time
or
in the car.
Or I'll have headshots in there and merch that I would sign. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good idea.
Brilliant.
Too. Yeah.
You know, t-shirts, yeah, I'll have like
t-shirts.
I have like my catchphrases. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I have like, you know, "Hey, well, you know, it's $20 for the thing and you get a picture, you know, it could work out."
All right. So now one other bone to pick with you, sir, from looking at your Twitter. You look like you got disgusted when I said that, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah, I know. Here we go.
You thought Black Widow was great. Great.
Yeah. Loved it.
Great.
I loved Black Widow. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, God damn it.
I'm a big MC. What didn't you like about it?
It felt like I was watching a Jason Bourne film, right? Not a superhero film, right? Which I get because she's not a superhero. But
She's a super spy. Watching a super spy?
I didn't connect to it at all. Other than seeing Hawkeye at the end, there was no Easter egg. I would have loved to have seen a few, like maybe one superhero show up in it. It wasn't as funny and lighthearted as a lot of the others. And I thought the sister
That's
stole
what I
the
liked
show.
About it.
I thought the sister stole the show more than she did.
As she should, because Black Widow is dead.
Right.
Spoiler
They're setting
alert.
Her up for the
yes.
For the young
so
Avengers
she should be the focal point of the. I thought it was well acted. I enjoyed the story. I thought it, you know, I thought the sensitivity they brought to it was great. And if you're a follower of the MCU world, you know where it was. This was after Civil War when they were on the run before Infinity War. So this is what she was doing during those times. Yeah, and
no,
I'm
a big advocate of the MCU. Know, so I get it.
Me too.
I just didn't. I don't know.
Dark past, and they had to go into it. I really enjoyed it.
The reason why I've always been a fan of MCU over the DCU is because the MCU was fun, levity, enjoyment, and escape. This felt a little.
There's more
dire.
To it. There's more than that. Why it's better?
It's
better made movies. Yeah, they're patient.
Yeah.
You know they. You know even when they have a bad movie, they know it serves a purpose. I mean, DC is terrible. They're just playing catch up, and they don't know how to do it.
Right.
The only thing they do right is rated R stuff. So like Doom Patrol and Teen and Titans. But now they move Titans to CW. So it's going to be this like, you know, Gossip Girl version of it. And it's going to be terrible.
Wait a minute. Are you sure of that? I thought they were just bringing the first two seasons to the CW.
No, they can't do that. No. It's a whole new show.
Oh.
See, whatever PG-13 network they're going to, it's going to be terrible because what made that great, it was rated R Robin.
Was
it was
great.
Cursing and violence and sex, and now they took that away. So now
fuck,
it's just going to be
Batman was my favorite
it's
line
gonna
ever.
It's going to be Smallville.
When he said "fuck Batman," right. I fucking had to stop it. I was laughing so hard; it was so good.
The only thing that was wrong, and then see, here's the thing that's wrong with the. I'm glad you brought this up, though. What's wrong with the they can't keep characters either. You know, it's like at this point now, there's no canon anymore. So like, Wonder Woman's off on her own now. You know, they're not going. Justice League is done. Yeah. You know, there's a new Batman. It's like, you know, they don't even know that they had to overpay Harry what's his name to Cavill. Make sure we get the same Superman back. You know what I mean? So it was like, the whole thing's a shit show. It's a shit show.
The biggest problem with them is that the movies are just bad. You know, they're not good movies.
They're terrible.
Forget about anything else. Like, I told my mom to go see Thor Ragnarok, knowing nothing about the MCU. I knew she would enjoy it, and she loved it. It was a fun movie. Yeah. You didn't need to know anything. Although I will say I did a show recently that I stand by. Endgame was not good. I thought Infinity War was great. Endgame, the ending stunk. It wasn't good. Most of that movie was just closing plot lines. It was very little action, and it just wasn't.
How dare you?
It wasn't good. Wasn't good.
I was with you on that because I hate time travel. I hate it. I almost got thrown out of a car the other day because I told someone I don't like Back to the Future, which is really tough as a comedian to admit. And I rewatched it. I'm okay with Endgame. Infinity War?
Me too.
Fucking wonderful.
Infinity War is amazing, but Endgame was just
fine. It's a great setup. No, I disagree. I personally was like, I thought Infinity War was it was fine. I was like, the villain wins. You know, I was like, this is the first time, like, you know, the end of the movie, the villain is sitting on a porch like, I did it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, like, I thought, okay, what was the point of all this? You know, but then, like, you know, I thought they tied it up nice. You have to think of it like this is 13 years in the making to get to this point, and they didn't let us down. It was great action. I thought the time travel science was good enough where we go, okay, I like the multiverse stuff. That they said, it's like, all right, I totally get that. I thought they explained it nicely. And, you know, it was good action. And there were some great moments in that movie. When he said Avengers Assemble, if you didn't cheer, you're a soulless monster.
Let me just say a couple of quick things. I didn't like the forced all girls unite scene. That was ridiculous. Oh,
of course. But that's because white men have been fucking up for 10,000 years. So now we have to make up for your bullshit by doing this nonsense.
I also didn't like at all that Captain
America. I love you, baby.
You're right on that part, but with Captain America, old Cap being there at the end made no sense either because you set up timeline rules, and then he shouldn't be there because he had no way to get there. He was in a different timeline. Doesn't make any sense. And then third, the worst.
No, it makes perfect sense. He just didn't come back. What do you mean it makes no sense? So he went and delivered. Like, I actually want to see a TV show of Captain America taking all that stuff back.
Right. No. But that'd be cool. Very clearly, when he goes back, he was going to be on his own timeline. So if he waited around, he wouldn't be able to go back to that bench because he would be in a separate timeline. It's very simple. They made that very clear in the movie.
Oh, well, that part of it. Okay. Yes.
Makes no sense. At least they could have had like a flash of light.
But the timeline of the Avengers fixing the timeline is the timeline.
Yeah, but
this by watching Loki.
I know. See, I am watching Loki, but I'm just saying it's still.
This is the timeline.
They have admitted themselves. I'm sorry to cut you off. They admitted themselves that it's a different story they haven't told yet. That's all they said because they definitely fucked up. I'm telling you.
Well, I don't think that they fucked up. I think that the timeline, like that's why the time police, the time variants, whatever, didn't come get them when they were doing the timeline stuff, because that was part of the timeline is them going back and forth and doing all their shit.
We'll agree to disagree. The only thing I didn't like.
But I understand what you're saying, though.
The last thing that made no sense when Thor cuts off Thanos's head and Rocket says, "What did you do?" He said that just so he could say, "I went for the head." Nobody would say, "What did you do when you cut someone's head off?" You would say, "Why did you do that?" Or, "What?" You know, they wouldn't say, "What did you do?" It's very obvious. You just cut his head off. But they wanted to get line in.
He was implying that we need to question him more to get these stones back, man.
I don't like it. I don't like any of it.
You guys are missing the biggest problem is Thanos gets rid of half of the population. And then the next thing you see is him. Like picking parsley. You don't kill half the fucking universe and you pick parsley. You get someone else to do that shit. That's it.
Maybe he's serving.
He was, but he, he,
Like, no, he's at peace.
He served his purpose. Yeah, he's at peace.
Parsley and berries. Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, that's what made him a good villain. He made him a good villain is that he believed in his cause.
Except not in Endgame. In Endgame, he's no longer part of the cause. He changed his reasoning for doing it, which I didn't like. But also, lastly, they never established at what point does half the life go away? Bacteria? Because then a lot of us wouldn't survive. They don't say at what point would life, half of life is gone. All right, we spend way too much time on this. I'm done. Let's just agree to disagree.
That's great.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah. But you can poke holes in any movie, man. Come on.
We got to bring Neil deGrasse Tyson back on.
That's why I'm asking. That was my next question. You leaned into this perfectly. Did he ever see your Cosmos on weed or no? And did you ever ask him?
I hope so. Cause I thought that got a lot of traction when it first came out. It was like on time magazine.com. It was like, cause all the weed people were like, yeah, I love that. You know,
that was my first, cause I never really was, I never got into workaholics. That was my first knowledge of you, was seeing that Cosmos thing, was how I knew you. And he's been on the show, Neil. So it's funny.
You got to ask him next
time. Yeah, I wish I would have thought about it at the time, but I did not think about it at the time.
What do you think of my impersonation of him?
It was pretty spot on.
I didn't even know who. I actually got a video. I opened up YouTube on the set of that, and I was just looking at him, and I was like, okay, I got this. And they had the hair, so it was like, you know.
Are you a science buff, or are you just kind of bullshitted at all?
We just bullshitted it all. You know, I didn't know about, all the stuff that we were talking about. It is what it is. You know, I chalked it up to being a semi-good actor.
I remember you getting hypnotized by, I think it was Andromeda. Is Andromeda the word?
Andromeda, you know, you just throw it. I like listening to really, really, really smart people have a mundane discussion about something that's really complex, you know. Mm-hmm. But the way they're talking about it just makes it he has a way of making things make sense.
Right. I love him. I mean, when we had him on the show, I could not have been more excited. I've been following his
career. I can imagine.
Forever. He's just so smart and so unique. It's really fascinating.
I love how he talks about the UFOs right now. And he's saying, if they were UFOs, why are they just grainy pictures like the old Bigfoot pictures? Yeah. I think in this day and age, we would have there's a ship. Right. Why is it always this sort of bullshit? This looks like what's going on, man?
Yeah, there's never been any verifiable proof. It's always in some weird remote location. It makes no sense, but it's just more fun to believe it. That's what I think most people, if they were aliens here, it'd be evidence of it at some point. You know, the idea that it's all covered up is insane. I don't know. I'm a big fan. And then the last, just to tie into previous guests on this show, we just had Ray Romano on, and you're filming a Ray Romano movie right now. Is that right?
Yeah, I know. We already did it. It was about a month or so ago, and that was really fun. That was pretty exciting to, I got that part. And then, so I'm in New York, and I had to quarantine for a couple of days because I had just gotten my second shot. So you needed to already have it for 2 weeks. And so then you have to, when you get to New York, if you are on set, you got to stay in your hotel for 3 or 4 days. Then, on the third or fourth day, I get this, private number call. I don't answer it, And then, I get a text. It's like, hey, this is Ray Romano. And I'm like, oh, shit. Then I call him back. And then, I hear his voice. And it's just he's got such a distinct voice. I mean, I can't help but I was just really geeking out on the phone because I was oh, man, am I the brother now? This is great, Then he took me to dinner with a couple of other guys. And then we went to the cellar, and I just – It was great. He's just such a down to earth dude to be so rich.
Highest paid comedic sitcom actor of all time. Pretty crazy. Yeah. I don't think that'll never be beaten.
Over Seinfeld?
It is because it came out a couple years after Seinfeld, so money went up. Mm-hmm. So as far as a per episode, fee, his was the highest ever, and it'll never get broken now because there's no money like that anymore in sitcoms.
Yeah, unfortunately,
bring everybody down. All right, before we continue, great news for fans of Yo Kratom, the best supporter of our style of comedy. They just launched Yo Delta. Yo Delta is the Delta 8 sponsor with everything you need to stay high all summer long. If you are over the age of 21 and living in one of the majority of the states where this is legal, well, then it's time to stock up and enjoy a summer, the summer of Delta 8. What is Delta 8? It's something that's found in weed that can be legally shipped nationwide and get you high. They have vapes, they have gummies, anything you could possibly want Just go to yodelta.com. You use the promo code GAS, G-A-S, and you get 25% off. It's just that simple. The promo code GAS, 25% off. Stock up on Delta 8 gummies, Delta 8 vapes, and you can get high all summer long. No longer worrying about trying to obtain weed illegally. This is legal and can be shipped directly to you. YoDelta.com, promo code GAS, 25% off. What more do you need to know? All right, let's get back into it. So now, I saw an interview with you, and what I really liked about it is how you talk about switching your game plan, pun intended, during the pandemic, where all of a sudden you said the thing that struck me, because I've talked about this a lot, that you used to just identify as a comedian. And then during the pandemic, that's not who you are anymore. And you start having to look at, well, what do I like to do? How can I pivot? What can I, that type of theory, a lot of people couldn't do that. So I give you the credit for that, first off.
Well, you know, I guess for all of us, I don't care who you are, when this happened and everyone's job kind of halted, you know, a lot of times you define yourself by what you do. And when you can't do that anymore, you're sitting there wondering like, well, who am I? What am I? And then I realized I was just a personality that I could monetize in many different ways. And a lot of people are doing that now, too. It's like, that's what even OnlyFans is. OnlyFans is women monetizing their sexuality to make money in a safe way that they control the thing. And it's like, you know, we got to go, wow, good for them. You know, and in every single way on Instagram, people monetize it. Like, you know, so I said, what should I do? So I went into gaming. I was already gaming a little bit anyway, but then I said, well, I can go on Twitch and I can start streaming, and then it turned into something, and it was like, you know, I made more money doing that stuff in the gaming world than I did from stand-up the year before. So I was like, all right, so now I realized, look, what can we do? We can take yourself and see how you can apply it in all different areas. Just explore. It just made us think. It made us look at our choices. It made us look at the what we think about ourselves and really delve deep. And if you were able to do that, you could find something new about yourself. So that's why people moved. They got, you know, got serious in a relationships or got out of relationships
or got engaged.
Started to realize I got engaged or starting to be like, you know, I want to go get that degree now. I want to go do whatever the thing is. I think this pandemic really made us look, internalize, and really focus on what's important in life. I would hope. And then hopefully you came out of that. That's the silver lining of it. Not everybody did that because there's a lot of depression and all that stuff that's right. going on and drinking and abuse. But I think for some of us, we found a way to like, improve.
Right. I tell you, it's because I took it. I mean, we're a year and change into it. I lost 50 pounds, right? I started.
Me running. Too. I lost 40 pounds.
And that's great. I started really caring more about, you know, first of all, with your tone about your moan about the thing about saying just being a comic. I've always said, not that I'm a comic, but as a host, I used to only identify as the host of a show. Like that was me. I tried to introduce myself. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, if you just look at yourself as that one thing, how fucking boring are you? You're just a comic. Yeah. You're just a this or that. You're just a whatever. So you should start embracing the rest of who you are and find what is passionate about your life and embracing all those. You're going to be far fucking happier.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the thing about health, too, is like, so like, you know, I'm with this, she's younger than me. You know what I mean?
We've seen pics.
You know, but she's not 20. She's 32. You know what I mean? So we still got to put her down, but she's 32. No, I'm kidding. Just teasing out there. Don't give me the hate mail. So the thing, though, is so what also made me realize is like what else do I want to be? So then I want to be a husband that lives longer than I, you know, should. I want to be a father that like starting at my age, I'm going to be an old ass dad. So I was like, I got to take care of my health. Right. Then my mom has dementia, which is a nightmare, and so I'm like, oh well, what causes that? And you find out inflammation, high cholesterol, lack of lack of brain oxygen to the brain from like exercise. So you start to go, oh, you know what, let me see if I can push this away, okay, so it doesn't happen to me. So you know, you start to, unfortunately at our age, you don't start realizing you need to take care of your health until you need to take care of your health,
right?
And then all of a sudden, you know, I always say like I'm like a Hogwarts potion master. Before I go to bed, I got, you know, I got my turmeric, I got my fish oil, I got my ashwagandha, I got my, you know, I got my spirulina, and I'm putting a concoction together to make, you know, to you know, keep healthy.
I'm going to say this though, get rid of the fish oil, because most fish oil that are in capsules are garbage. They're already rancid. Don't use them. I do another show called Good Sugar, which is all on health and wellness. Fish oil became a thing because we looked at Scandinavia and all the Scandinavians who eat predominantly fish were super healthy, no heart attacks, low blood pressure. So America, being idiots, we said, well, let's just ground up the oil of fish and take it as a pill. You know, and that'll make
it
better.
So what should we take instead?
I just have fish. Just don't have the fish oil. You know
Eric,
I mean?
He doesn't like fish oil because old Captain America brought that back in his non-alternative timeline, and Ralph's got a hard on against that shit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm a big advocate, but like turmeric, I'm a big advocate of as well. You know, but
turmeric's great.
I think it's great. I think you can make you notice a difference. I started meditating every day, which I never did before. Makes a big difference, and even now, like if I go a couple days without meditating and I start feeling edgy, I'm like, why am I so edgy? I'm like, oh shit. I skipped 2 days of meditating. What the fuck is wrong with me? And that makes a difference. And it really, things that I would shit on for years, all of a sudden realizing, oh, like you said, by the time we realize it's something we should be doing, it's too late. But it's never too late. So.
You know, I really wish that, like, again, the pandemic was terrible. And, you know, RIP to all the lives lost, just all the dumb politicization of it and, you know, all the stupid back and forth about what's right and what's wrong. But ultimately, though, if you look at the things in it, I mean, I wish that the whole world would shut down for 2 weeks every year. Like, literally, we make the whole world go, we're not doing anything for 2 weeks. Everybody's shut down. I mean, it does wonders for the environment. It does wonders for, like, you know, there's so many different things that, you know, so I don't know. I mean, it's just like we're coming out of this and we're not the same. We'll never be the same as we were before. We're on a new path. This is a new timeline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is that new timeline.
So Captain America should be here, according to your stats, that he should show up in a minute.
We're looking at the timeline where Captain America...
I couldn't agree with you more about that. It really is the thing that I try to tell people to take some like positivity out of all this is that this is that moment. This and 9/11, when you're 70, everyone's going to still be asking, oh, what was the pandemic like for you? Like that.
Exactly.
It's going to always be a moment that will bond the world forever. You're never going to have another moment like that, hopefully, that bonds the entire planet. You know, like that.
I know when we're 70 at that time, you know, the royal Trump family of America will still be in power and, you know, it'll be a monarchy or whatever it is. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing. We're going to look back. It's funny that you mentioned 9/11 because that is one of those things. Like for me, I have moments like that. I remember the Rodney King tape coming out. So for me, it's Rodney King, 9/11, because I remember exactly where I was and I was like, what the hell is going on? Right. You know, and now it'll be this. And it's just like, you know, you didn't think, I mean, man, if I just think about being at the Comedy Store in LA, if I think about being at the Comedy Store and what was happening there was just that, just so great. It was, you know, it was like that. It was like the heydays. It was like this new, like your thing going on, and everybody was like, it was great. You know, Joe Rogan and all these people that were there, and then it's just now it's just completely different. You know, so we can look back at, like, you know, pre-pandemic now, you know. And we'll be like, oh, man, this is what we were doing. And who knows where our lives would have been. And now we're sitting here like, OK, this is a totally new path. Right. It's almost like not a fresh start, but it's like, man, what are you doing with yourselves right now? It's changing things. Like last thing I want to just, because I want to get your guys' feedback on this, is like I'm seeing, too, like a lot of clubs, they're having trouble opening to full capacity because they can't get staff.
Right. Yes.
You know, there's a lot of places that, so the hospitality business is taking a hit. And to me, it's because the employers treated these people like shit. So now they're going like, no, the government's giving us money and we want to come back. But why would I want to come back to your shit job?
Yeah,
you know, it's like
that.
The power struggle.
Right.
This power struggle is different. So it's like, what path are we going to be on right now? Are we going to learn anything from this? Is my question.
I hope we do. I mean, you think that, you know, this, like I thought, and it's funny not to keep bringing him into this, but when Neil was on, was early on into the pandemic, right? And I said, I really believed when I heard, oh, shit, this is the first time in history where the entire world is banding together against a common enemy. We've never had a common enemy before. Now we do.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to bring everyone together. And holy fuck, was I wrong about that?
Yeah.
You know, it became political, whatever. And speaking of political, when the royal Trump family does take over in 20 years, me and James are safe. Eric, I don't know where you're going to be exported to Belize or something, but we'll be fine.
Yeah, I know, dude. The way they make it seem. But, you know, it's like, I think, I don't know, man. I just, I can't stand how political the coronavirus became.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I felt, you know, it's just like it was like a it became a deterioration of like our faith in the government, our faith in even our faith in the media, our faith in information, you know, because, you know, the media was supposed to be the fourth branch of government. It's supposed to be that place. And once it became like a profit business, now, you know, it just becomes, you know, special interest, you know, but it should be, it shouldn't be for profit. I don't think schools should be for profit. I don't think media should be for profit. And I don't think education should be for profit.
I agree. But what killed it was when the Carter administration instituted a law. There used to be a time when if you gave one voice time in a political party on TV, you had to give equal voice to the other side. I forgot what the name of that law was, but it changed during the Carter administration. And that led to the Foxes and the CNNs and the MSNBCs because they could do slanted political journalism, which never happened before. And that's why we live in this world right now. Yes, James.
This is the greatest episode ever because we're like 30 minutes in. You had like a knockdown, drag down nerd fight. And now we're fucking breaking down social political. This is, I can't wait to see what the last 10 is. We're not even gonna get to the first. You're gonna end up talking about who was the greatest leader of the triumphant. Was it goddamn Caesar or Mark Anthony? Let's fucking go.
Yeah, it's fine, Dave.
Change the world, bitches.
Whenever we have,
well, it wasn't Caesar. He was too he was too into himself. You know, he was too self-absorbed. Too self-absorbed. You know, that's why he had to go. They had to get rid of him.
Eat too, baby. Eat too. I'm Brutus.
You suggested turning off for a while, right? And I agree with that. Yeah. I would actually think there should be a day where everybody just separates from social media at least once a month. There should be the day off. Where everyone gets off. Yeah,
it's like
media.
It's like Ready Player One. You know, when the kids took over, they were like, "The Thursdays, you can't be on. You can't be doing this anymore. Go interact with human beings."
And what's surprising about it, because I watched a ton of your interviews and podcasts over the last couple of week or so, knowing you were coming on, and it seemed to me, and I could be wrong, it seemed out of character for you. Maybe I'm wrong, but you got sucked into a Twitter beef. You were like talking trash to someone because I guess you're. Are you filling in for Bobby Lee or something? Is that what's happening? You did that and you shit on someone because they said you weren't funny. And then you replied to that tweet. Most comics don't give that voice because that guy is nothing.
You know what? I love, listen, I hate when people say, when people get mad, when they go like, you know, why are you talking to the trolls? I think saying that is trolling in itself. Look, ultimately, it doesn't matter. I don't care if these people live or die. But what I'm doing is I'm giving a troll, I'm making his day.
Oh yeah, you are. You definitely are.
Here's a guy who's like, you know, he's in his basement. He just called for a Hot Pocket from his mom, and he's just sitting in here like, you know, he's typing and he's going, "Mom, Eric Griffin is responding to me. This is great." And so I go, "Listen, I swear to you, it means nothing." So I love a good, I'm a comic. I love a good back and forth. I mess with hecklers in a show. You know, I go in and then afterwards, I'm not thinking about that person anymore.
Right, right. Well, so like,
social media is, so in my headspace, I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, you want to say something? I'll say something back. But I know when it's at a point where it's like, okay, this person's not getting it. And then you just move on. So what I love to do is like, I end up muting people a lot. I don't block people.
Right.
Because I think that's blocking people, that's giving people power. So I'll mute somebody on Twitter because I'll let them scream into the ether. I'll never see it. But they get their message out there for themselves. And I think that's great. Good for you. You know, and then on Instagram, you just restrict and I hide my story. And then that's the end of it. But they still get to see on their thing
that
it's all good.
I could say that destroyed your argument was you used the wrong firm of two, my friend. You used T.O. and it was supposed to be T-O-O. And at that point,
you're one of those.
You lost.
You're one of those.
Ralph, you're one of those, goddamn you.
He's one of those. Here we go. Here we go.
My favorite is I chirped back at at one of those trolls once, and I chirped hard, and I got blocked. And I felt like a champ. Like, I felt like I won the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And the NBA Finals.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you don't block people. Blocking some. Blocking people really gives people a lot of power.
I'm never on Twitter. I just do Instagram and it goes to Twitter. I don't look at Twitter. I don't give a shit about Twitter personally. So I don't block anybody.
I'm still a little obsessed with like looking at things, and I really shouldn't. The one that's hard to not look at is YouTube comments. Those are the ones, but that's like, you know, troll city. And the one I never go to is Reddit, even though I really appreciate the Reddit people, that community. Like, they, like, to be on Reddit, you know, it's a process. So if you're on there talking all that smack, you know, that's a community that I go, okay, that's like a biker bar, you know what I mean?
It really is. I think Reddit is like the purest form of racism. It really is just like,
yes, it's like a biker bar. So when I walk into the biker bar, the whole place stops, the jukebox stops, and they look over like, what are you doing in here? That's how I feel about Reddit. So I go, ooh, my bad, shouldn't be here. I can't use the bathroom, you know what I mean? So you just like get out of there.
One time a fan sent me every bad comment about me on Reddit. They thought they were doing me a service. I was like, a fan, I thought you should know these are the comments being said about you. And it was like a several page document of all the shit talked about me on Reddit. And we just made a bit out of it on SDR, where once a week I would read a few of them. Instead of Jimmy Kimmel's mean tweets, we did Ralph Reed's Reddit.
Right.
And but then it just made people want to do it much more. So we stopped.
Right, exactly. That's what happens. But you know, I mean, like people like you know when people are like trolling you or like there's a difference between like somebody like trolling about something and then when somebody is just saying something that like they're just an ignorant asshole.
Right.
Those are the ones that bother me the most. You know, when somebody like parses your words, or, you know, that's like, well, you're a racist because you know, you're like, wait a minute, hold on. Did you hear what I said? So then now like that's where you get take too far, where you're going like, I'm trying to rationalize with somebody that has they want to make this point, you know?
Like someone, for instance, pointing out on a podcast that you use the wrong firm of two, like that kind of asshole.
Yeah, that kind of dickhead.
Ralph the troll.
Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And then just a couple of things, then we got to do the first. We don't have all the time in the world here. I thought this was fascinating, and I'm sure you didn't mean it this way, and I'm not meaning to give you like a trip down your memory lane of the last few things I watched on you, but you basically told Brendan Schaub on his podcast that he wasn't funny and that or interesting. Like the way you said it was very interesting.
See, first of all, I take offense to that because that is out of context to what we were talking about. See, I've gotten a lot of messages about this, and it's so frustrating because that's not what happened.
Well, you said something not that funny.
Were having a conversation about why people like people for what different reasons, and we were having a conversation about like it's not always like about being funny that makes people come watch you.
Right,
and I said to him. I said to him, I said, you get that a lot. There are people that don't think you're funny. That's what I said to him. Right. And, you know, and I know you deal with that all the time, but it doesn't matter because look, you have fans, you have like, you sell out shows. And so it's like, it's a constant struggle. That's the context of the conversation. But when people bring it up, they bring it up like that. Like, you said he wasn't funny. Well, it's like, no,
by the way, you said it the way you can just condense that again, that it doesn't matter why people are going to your show or something like that, because you figured out a way to get in fans. I don't remember exactly how you said it, but it was almost implied that, well, comedy isn't the first reason why they're coming to see you. They're coming to see you because of who you are.
Exactly. But saying it like that doesn't mean like I'm saying he's not funny. Right. I'm saying there are other reasons. He is funny, but what we're saying is he's not funny like Dave Chappelle. He's not funny like, you know, it's like, why do people come watch people? They come watch them because, you know, they're connected to them in some way. And the podcast format allows people to be like, I know this guy and I really like him and I want to go watch him live.
Right.
And whether they think he's funny or not, they're going to do that. I love Brendan. I'm on our podcast a lot, you know, but it's like I have to talk about it because I come from an old school where I have this feeling that everyone that's a great comic has to be funny. And we come to find out that that's actually never been true. They always have to be interesting. They always have to be attractive. They always have to be like, there's all these factors that go into it. And we have this myopic view that it's like, it's about the art and being funny, and whoever's not shouldn't be successful. That's more on me, not on the person that has got the Rubik's Cube for the business of success.
Right, just like, I mean, you brought it up earlier, but just like OnlyFans, there's super hot girls on OnlyFans that don't make anywhere near as much money as the girls that have figured out a way to market themselves and make themselves more engaging for whatever purpose.
Exactly. Like, they think it's just about being hot, and it's not just about being hot. There is something there that people got it. And Brendan Schaub is one of those people. He got it.
Yeah, he's got that. That helps a lot.
There's something about his personality, right, too, that people just like, they love to hate him and they love to love him. You know what I mean? So it's like, but you know, and that's funny, one of those ones I had to deal with. I hate, you know, that's one of those ones.
I was a strip club DJ for like 12 years, right? And the hottest girls in the club.
That explains a lot.
the hottest girls in the club seldom made the most money. You know, it was like the girl that wasn't that attractive that figured out a way to approach guys and make them think, oh, I got a chance with this girl. And they would unload their wallets on that girl.
Those are also the girls who knew how to use the proper version of two.
Yeah, and they also understood basic ideas behind time travel.
Can you imagine him as a strip club DJ giving out grammar corrections during the thing? Hey, coming to the stage, your destiny. She doesn't spell it right, but she's coming.
By the way, you're not far off, sir. You are not far off.
Guys, this has been great because I feel like this is a non-sports version of ESPN's First Take, and I'm like supposed to be the hot girl mediating Stephen A.
Well, it's funny. Eric, I don't know shit about sports. I know you care about sports. I don't give a shit about
anything. I love sports.
I just don't. I can't relate on sports. That's the problem, James. That's why
is that? Well, you know what? You probably hate sports because you were six. Yeah, because I know what this is. He was 6'5", a twin, and they were supposed to like go to the NBA, and they were just terribly non-athletic. And so you get that question asked to you so much, you've just been like, you know what? I hate sports. I don't want to talk about it. I never played. I was a grammar guy.
That's a good guess.
I'm a grammar guy.
My wheelhouse was grammar. I used to focus on grammar.
He was at the spelling bee. He wasn't at the NCAA championship.
My twin brother's 5'7", so it's not that, number one. And number
Wow. How did that happen? You guys were the literal twins?
The literal twins.
You guys were like Danny DeVito and
100%. Yeah. But also, I believe everybody gets into a sport because someone older in their family got them into sports, their father, their older brother, something like that. And I didn't have that. Nobody in my family gave a shit about sports, so I never got into it.
I didn't have that either, and I got into sports. I played basketball. You know, I just
never liked watching sports. I don't know. I don't just like I don't like I watching porn.
You know what though? I like you know what's funny you say about that? It's like I had season tickets to the Clippers for a couple of seasons when I was like, you know, on a TV show and I had a little extra money.
Yeah.
But like now I don't watch. I prefer watching TNT. I prefer watching Charles Barkley and those guys more than the game. Like, I actually DVR that show, and I watch that, and I go, okay, what happened today in the game? And I don't even watch the games as much anymore. I'm not interested in the NBA as much as I was before, but I enjoy those personalities talking about the game. I watch a lot of sports shows. I love First Take. I love Speak for Yourself with Marcellus Wiley and Emmanuel Acho. I love those shows.
Yeah, I've gotten to the same place where I just can't follow everything and I feel like a fraud trying to fake it. I'm like, yeah, they're two free agents away. But that TNT show, Ralph, even if you don't like sports, it's probably been the most consistently funny show on television for a decade and a half.
It's funny.
Charles Barkley could have taken all of our money as a comic if he wanted to. The guy's the funniest son of a bitch ever. And Kenny Smith needling him and shit.
Yeah, and Shaq and him fighting. Yeah.
It's the best. It's the goddamn best.
I can't see myself ever even giving it a try. All righty. Before we go any further, this is one of our longtime sponsors, and we love them. It is Yokratom. Yokratom.com. Yokratom.com. You know this by now. Home of the $60 kilo of Kratom. The world's best value in Kratom, shipped directly to your door. No questions asked. And if you've never heard of Kratom before, you don't even need to listen to this ad. We're not talking to you. We're talking to the people that know and love Kratom, that are looking for high-quality, curated strains of Kratom, wholesale prices, directly to your door, and only $60 for a kilo. YoKratom.com is where we are talking about high quality. We've heard feedback from all the other people that use Kratom and love it. They say it's solid, and like I said, it is the only place for the $60 kilo, directly to you, wholesale prices, tons of different strains. No longer worrying how long has it been sitting at the gas station, how long has it been in the local bodega. This is wholesale, shipped to you, no questions asked, $60 for a kilo. You can't go wrong with YoKratom.com. That's YoKratom.com. And if you're currently a fan of Kratom, this is the place for you. The $60 kilo only at YoKratom.com. All right, let's get back into it. And then the last couple of questions before we do the first. I liked your story, which is funny, and it's a weird thing to be in because it's happened a few times to me as well. When you're meeting someone of a larger star power, where you almost feel like, oh, well, I got to do with it. Like the story was about Justin Bieber kind of summoning you, right? And you doing right? And I know that feeling. Like I've been
and feeling terrible about it, but I still was so excited.
Yeah. So I mean, just really cool. James, like Justin Bieber was at a show and he goes, "Oh, Justin would like to meet you." And instead of saying the instinctual, "Fuck it, have him come meet me," then you go to him, which I've had that experience as well. And it is a weird thing that you kind of do, and you don't even know why you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, he's just one of these like magnetic personalities that, like, you know, it's like he's an example of someone that, because I've been around him in like in a small group at a party, you know. It was this, I went to his 21st birthday party. God, you know, so, and it was just a surprise.
He's 30 yet, right? He's not even 30 yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I think he just turned 25, you know, at this part, you know, and it was like a kind of thing. It was like, because he loved Workaholics. So it was like, you know, the guy that brought me here, you know, he's telling him, like, "Hey, look who's on the couch." And it's like, "Oh shit, Montez is here," you know. But he was a very gracious kid. But he's the kind of kid that, like, if he's standing one place, there's people around him. And if he moves to the other side of the room, you find yourself wanting to go to the other side of the room. It's a really bizarre, strange thing but that's why he's so famous. It's a combination of a lot of things, but there's people that have that. Tom Cruise has that. Will Smith has that. Right. You know, Elvis had it. Michael Jackson had it. Like, there's, you know, there's Bono had it. You know, there's people that have this magnetic thing that were born to be, you know, leaders or entertainers or, like, you know, that kind of thing. But I do remember being like, "You don't summon me," and I'm like, "Where is
he?" Well, I guess, as a matter of fact, you do summon me, and here I come.
The thing that really got me though was I was at this other party at this other kid I know, and he, you know, he's like this influencer kid. He had this big party. I love his family. Anyway, Justin Bieber's there. He goes and he says to me, "Hey man, can you get me a vodka?" You know, and I found myself being like, "Oh, okay, right away." You know, and I was like, "What the fuck am I doing, man?" Afterwards, I was so mad at myself.
I'm 40 something years old and I'm getting this.
I know. He got like security around him and stuff like that. Get one of your flunkies to do it, but he did, because I was the flunky that was like, "I'll be right back, sir." You know.
Yeah. All right. So, the last couple of questions, we'll do the first. Riffing with Griffin, you're how many episodes in now?
Man, I'm at like 140. So please come check me out. You know, binge watch it, please. I'm just trying to get more people. I don't know. I don't know the formula to make people come watch your podcast. I don't have that Justin Bieber thing. If I did, you think I'd be doing this? No, I'm kidding. But they have. No, but they have like a, you know, they have like a whatever, you know, I don't know. I love doing it. And every time I don't want to do it anymore, I literally meet a fan in public who's just like at a supermarket, like, "Hey man, I love your podcast." And I'm like, "You bastard. Now I got to keep doing this."
You're,
you know,
for at least another 10 episodes now.
Now I gotta, like, you know, so I keep trying to reinvent it. And I've been, because of the pandemic, I'm doing more solo episodes, and but I'm kind of different solo than I am like with other people. Like when I have, and people always mention that to me, "We love it when you interact with other people." And when I'm solo, I'm very more like very introspective and, like, you know, more serious about the things I'm talking about. It's hard to be like wacky when I want to talk about, like, what the hell with this coronavirus, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it is what it is.
I think it's hard.
But come check it out. Riffin' with Griffin.
The only guy that I've heard solo that I think consistently kills it is Bill Burr. He's one of the few. James, I've only listened once or twice to your other podcast. I'm going to be.
Well, and that's the answer. There it is. If it's only once or twice, also, there's the goddamn.
You know what?
E2, Ralph. E2.
Podcast is all properly. About being E2, a stand-up Ralph, comic. It's about being a stand-up comic. I can't relate to it, my friend.
But it's passion, my friend. Do you feel the passion in my voice?
I have
now?
No soul and no passion.
Well, I care.
I care about grammar.
The whole time he hears your grammar and he didn't say that sentence correctly.
I'm going to start a grammar podcast.
I feel like James didn't have a caesura
in that
you call it the grammar police
setting me.
Yeah. Episode one, predicates. Come on, everybody. Episode one, episode two, contractions. I'm bringing it, bitch.
Proper use of an adjective or verb, you know.
I like it. I like it all very much. Very, would love to do it. All right, so we're going to do the first right now, and then we'll wrap this bitch up.
The first time ever I saw Concert Detroit.
The name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. We ask every guest since the dawn of time about their first experience with all three, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We start with rock and roll, and what we mean by that is the first concert you ever went to. It doesn't have to be rock and roll, just a concert, but also the one you went to. As in, not that your parents dragged you, like, I want to go see this. It's something we're hopefully going to know, not some local band we never heard of.
Yeah, it was 1984. It was the Victory Tour, the Michael Jackson, and he had his brothers with him at Dodger Stadium. That was my first concert that I went to, and it was like it was mind blowing.
That's fantastic. So I don't know,
because that was at the height of his power too. Like, you know, the Motown 25 had just happened.
Right.
You know, he moonwalked on TV and blew everybody's minds, and then that was my first concert tour.
That's a great one, man.
Concert.
That is fucking awesome. Amazing. That's a really good one. I never got to see Michael Jackson. In fact, when he was about to do that This Is It, the 50 tour, you know, 50 of that tour, whatever year it was.
Then he died.
I was going to get tickets. I was like, oh, let's all go see that. We never saw him, and he died like a month later. Really sucked.
Yeah, crazy.
And now the first drug you ever did after weed, because unless weed wasn't your first drug.
The first drug I ever took was I had a headache, and I said, and my friend gave me their prescription migraine medication, and that was like the first time that I felt high. Wow. You know. Okay. And because I don't do drugs, I've never done like any. It's only recently that I started doing like a mix with the CBD. So I'll do like a 1-4 mix of it, like a Dom Pen, and that will, like, you know, and it's just because I've never done it before. You know, I don't like being high. I don't like smoking weed. I don't like that burning thing. You know, I don't like the burning and all that stuff. So I haven't really experienced like any like drugs, no mushrooms, nothing like that.
Nothing. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. By the way, there was a weed company that had a strain named after me. And it was 4 times the CBD to 1 time the THC, because I'm also a puss that doesn't like to do drugs at all. Yeah. And it actually was, they're not around anymore, but that was the only thing I could ever smoke that I was like, oh, this feels fine. It was like,
yes, me too. I know, because you know what it is? Because that's 20%. Yeah. That's just enough. The 1-4 is 20%. So that's like, I remember the first time I took it though, I was like, so I bought the pen. I was like, oh, I'll try this. And then I'm in my car and I'm driving and I take a hit, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this? Nothing. I don't feel nothing. Then I took another one. And then I'm driving. And then I find myself when I was driving, I was going like this. And then there was this like calm feeling. And then I went, oh, I get it. Right. Now I get it. You know, so in my late 40s, I get it.
And now the first time you had sex.
It was in the fifth grade.
What is that?
Yeah.
12? Like 11?
Yeah, I was like, this is my first real sexual experience.
You upset James. He's going to cry.
Yeah,
right now.
This was like, I remember this very vividly now, because it was like we were doing a school project and I went over and it was just me and this girl and, you know, and she, her mom left us alone and here we are alone. And then we started messing around and I remember we didn't know what we were doing. You know what I mean? We didn't know what we were doing. So we were like, it was like very like dry humpy, you know, you know what I mean? Like I didn't penetrate, but I ejaculated like all over her.
Wow. So were you 11? Is that about right?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know what grade. Yeah, but it was like, it was pretty young, you know, and I didn't know what was happening. And I was like, damn. And this is how people get pregnant. Like not having proper sex ed, not having proper sexual education. We didn't know what we were doing. We were wrestling and like, she had like big old titties for her age. So I was like, you know, it was crazy. I didn't know what I was doing.
11-year-old titties. Did you know?
Yeah.
When you ejaculated, were you aware?
I didn't know what was happening.
You were afraid.
I was like, wow. You know, I was like, woo, that felt good.
Holy shit. That's fucking great.
Her name was Grace. I remember her name. Her name was Grace.
Wow, what a
So Grace,
whore.
If you're out there, don't hit me up because we're the same age.
If you got a young daughter or something, have her hit him up.
Yeah. You have like a niece.
All right, and now, just to wrap this up, let's do plugs. Anything else, Eric, you want to plug?
Well, you know, you go to my website. I got my schedule on my terrible website. I always read every time podcasts are going, I say, hey, if you're a web designer, you want to help me out, please hit me up. But I, so my schedule's on there. I'm going to be in a bunch of places, the Den Theater in Chicago. I'm going to, I'll be in Brad Garrett's in Vegas. I think that's my next gig. That's coming up in like August, I believe it is. And so, you know, things keep getting added to the schedule. So I will be at a town near you. I game every day on Twitch. So check me out there. That's Eric Griffin Gaming on Twitch. I have those videos on YouTube, and you know, I'm on most social media platforms, and I might respond to your troll comment.
James, your plugs?
Okay, so the James Madden on Instagram, think pattern, but with an M. Check out the Commissioner Comedy Podcast. It is mostly me solo talking about the passion of stand-up. I'm catching shit already because I'm calling out people for writing fucking past when they get one spot at a goddamn open mic. Fucking relax, everybody. So check that out. And my special and album is dropping in. It's officially now in fall. The Check Spot. It is me doing a Q&A with a very drunk audience while they pay bills. The Check Spot. We are submitting the tracks as we speak. So finally, this not as an important Chinese democracy of comedy album is coming out. So fuck yeah, baby. Boom, boom.
Really quickly, my other podcast, The Good Sugar Podcast on Health and Wellness, comes out every Monday. The book I did with that came out that hit number 77 on Amazon is The 100% Guide to Weight Loss and Fitness. Skankfest, which tickets went on sale. We sold out in 22 minutes, which I can't believe. SDR Show will be there live as well, along with some great comedians that are going to be on there. Really cool lineup.
Are you gonna invite me to do that?
I don't do it. I don't put it on. My company, Guest Digital, produces it, but I don't book the guests at all. But here we go.
There's an excuse right there. That was a nice diplomatic way of being
James,
like,
are you
Eric,
there?
I don't know if we want you on there.
Eric, I'm not in either. I'm the white sheep again. We're not doing anti-festival.
Big J. Ogerson, Luis J. Gomez, they're the ones that put it together. I don't put it together. Those pieces of shit there.
I know both of them.
Yeah. Big J is my usual co-host for SDR Show, and James is my secondary co-host.
I couldn't even get the regular co-host, too. No offense to you.
You got the quarterback, bro. You got the backup.
Yeah, exactly.
But by the way, I would love to hear about some like the proper supplements and vitamins that I should be taking.
Yeah, we can talk about it. I'll hit you up 40s. I'll troll you on Instagram and see if you're applying.
Please do, because I said, if you saw my drawer, it's full of like some.
A lot of it is
red. I got red yeast rice. I got you know.
But again, by the way, if you read, there's a book I really recommend called Chatter that talks about listening to your inner voice and how to relate to yourself, right? And one of the things that's been scientifically proven, which is fucking amazing, is that if you believe something works, it will work for you. That's how strong your brain is. And even if you know it's a placebo, if you tell them this placebo is supposed to make you feel better, there's still a high percentage of people that it makes them feel better. It's fucking crazy how powerful your brain is and how important your mindset is. But I recommend the book Chatter all the time. But I'll hit you up on Instagram.
All right,
and then
one last
closing funny story that I just wanted to get out there. When I first got offered you, I'm like, oh, shit, definitely, let's do it. And I read it wrong. I thought it was Eddie Griffin. And then I was like, oh, shit. And then it was Eric Griffin. I'm like, oh, dude, the Workaholics guy, the guy from Cosmos, High Cosmos. Yeah, for sure. But it was just a funny...
you know what? You know what's funny about this? Real quick, I remember I was in, I forgot, I think it was Atlanta. I forgot a town like that. And I get off the plane, and you know, the driver's got a thing. It says E. Griffin, and then I walk up. I go, I'm Eric Griffin. He goes, oh man, you ain't Eddie Griffin.
So wild.
And then like the whole car ride to the hotel, he is literally bitching at me about how he was so looking forward to meeting Eddie Griffin. And he had stories. And I'm tired after a long day of travel. So it was just like one of like those really funny, so unprofessional. If I was a Karen, I would have like called his company and been like, you know, this is unacceptable. But I just thought it was funny because it was going to be a great story for me.
Yeah, it's great. It's funny. But it just was funny. It was a day where I was like, of course. And I was like, no, it's Arrows. Oh, yeah, of course. I know who that is. But it just was a funny, like I did started to do research. And then he emailed me. I'm like, oh, no, I got to do research. research with someone else. It's very, very funny to me.
I like that you did research. I love that.
Yeah, we always end the show every week with the song of the week at the sdrshow.com/playlist. And because you mentioned Victory, let's do Torture off of Victory. It's such a great song. That's about it. Thank you, dude, so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll see everyone on, we do it every Wednesday, every Saturday on the SDR show. Peace.
You've been listening to the SDR show.